Okay, we're ready for Tuesday night Bible study. We're going to start out in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 12 through 15, and we're going to come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you and praise you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. Lord, we want to thank you that you know what you're doing, and I know you know what you're doing, and I know that you're trying to get the world's attention, because when I hear about the things that's happening all over the world, the cyclones, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, Lord, I know you're trying to get to people's attention. Lord, help us to realize that and help us to be about your business, Lord. For this little team of us here as the Living Savior Ministry, we're going to make you our Lord. And we're going to serve you, Lord. We're going to teach your word. And we're going to walk in holiness and obedience to your word in every way we know and understand. We love you, Lord. And I want to thank you and praise you for this fine gentleman that came tonight that was here Saturday. That you heal, Lord. He came out here with his oxygen bottle and everything, and now he don't need it. And, Lord, he left here without it Saturday, and today's Tuesday, and he hadn't had to have it since. And, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for being there and showing up for him and healing him. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. What a privilege it is to be able to teach a healing school, teach God's word, and see God show up. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I love it. I love it. I love it. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 12 through 15. That's where we're going to start tonight. We're going to talk about some of these things, and some of the things we're going to talk about, you'll see why people are sick. And as we talked about last Saturday, we went into great detail about some of the things that made people sick and then what you can do. But in Jeremiah 30, verse 12 says, this is what the Lord says. Yours is an incurable bruise, a terrible wound. Now, how would you like for God to tell you that? You know, you have an incurable bruise, a terrible wound. If God said it's incurable, then it's incurable, isn't it? It must take some real serious prayer to get the Lord to change his mind on this one. Then he says, there is no one to help you or bind up your injury. You are beyond the help of any medicine. Now, I wouldn't want that kind of a verdict, would you? You know, this guy must have really done something bad. Let's see what verse 14 and 15 says. All your allies have left you and do not care about you anymore. I, God, have wounded you cruelly as though I were your enemy. Wonder why in the world would God do that to anybody? He tells us, for your sins are many, and your guilt is great. Why do you protest your punishment? This wound that has no cure, I have had to punish you because your sins are many and your guilt is great. Why does God punish people? Because of sin. I mean, he knows what's in our heart, doesn't he, brother? Amen. He knows what's in there. And if we got some pride in there, he knows it's in there. You might fool all the rest of us, but you can't fool him, can you?
You know, he brought it to me before my healing.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, I've dealt with all of my sins, and someone came up behind me and put their hand on my shoulder and said, what about pride?
Yeah.
I'm a very humble person. But then God says, what about your pride to me? And I thought, you know, my whole life, someone says, you've done great in your job, in your profession, and this is good. You've got many accomplishments. I'm saying, on the outside, I'm saying, oh, it was nothing. And then inside, I'm gloating with pride. And I had to give it up.
God knows that, doesn't he?
Amen.
Amen.
Attest to it.
He wants you to get rid of that because that's what was making you sick, wasn't
exactly.
it? And as soon as you humble yourself before him and give it all to him, then he's merciful and to forgive you and heal you. And that's just like all these things that Lance was telling me a while ago about China and Burma and all these places where the earthquakes and the cyclones and whatever's happening. I believe, did you say in Burma the death toll now is a million? A million. The death toll in Burma is 1 million people. That's a lot of folks, guys. That's a lot of folks because of a cyclone. And then he said, didn't you say in China there was a 7.9 earthquake?
6.5 aftershocks.
and a 6.5 aftershock. Several. Wow, several. Used to, I can remember if we had a 6.0, it was a humongous earthquake. And now we've got a 6.5 aftershock with a 7.9 initial one. But in this scripture right here in Jeremiah 30, if anybody wants to know why God afflicts us with all these things and all these punishments and all these sickness and all these disease, what did he say was this man's problem?
Sin.
Sin. That's exactly right. Sin. He says, "For I'm going to do all these things to you because your sins are many and your guilt is great." He said, "I have had," down at the bottom there in verse 15, "I have had to punish you because your sins are many and your guilt is great." Why does any of us get sick and afflicted? Because of sin. You know, I mean, if we walk holy in front and before God, I mean, we're children. And if you are a parent and you have children, if your children obey you and they're good, you don't ever spank them, do you? No, but it's when they're little devils. You know, when they're impossible to get along with, when they refuse to do what you say. And usually, we're just like God. We don't chastise our children on the first or second time to do some little something, do we? We usually give them a chance and 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 a chance. You know what I mean, don't you? And then finally one day you think, okay, that's it. That's the 25th time you've done that. Now it's over. I'm going to get you. And sometimes that's the way it works. And I really think that God is even more merciful than that to us. He gives us so many opportunities to repent. And just like you said, sir, I mean, when somebody laid their hand on your shoulder and said, "How about your pride?" I believe with all my heart that was God whispering in your ear.
I have no doubt about that.
No, you have no idea who that was, and you don't even know if that was a human being. You didn't look around to see him. I mean, I can see the king now. He just loves you so much, he taps you and said, "How about your pride, son? How about your pride?"
That's why, because I thought I had it all done.
Yeah. And when you got that taken care of, repented of that, then you went away from here Saturday completely healed and no more oxygen and hadn't had none since.
Woo! In fact, I haven't taken my blood pressure medicine since Saturday. My blood pressure is still right where the doctor keeps it, at about 90 over 55.
Wow, okay.
That's without the medicine.
Amen. So the Lord doing a good work on you, isn't he? He's good at that, isn't he?
Show him up since Saturday.
That's the other thing. All of my friends are saying, "I can't believe your voice is strong and loud. You don't quit talking." And my daughter told me last night, I'm walking and keeping up with her. Couldn't do that before. I'd wait and she'd bring a car up.
Dad has got a new leash on life, right?
He does.
Because he obeyed the king.
Amen. And he's going to use his talents totally for the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't we grateful we serve a mighty God? Get to see him do all these things. Well, there in Jeremiah 30, verses 12 through 15, we find out very clearly why this guy was sick, didn't we? Well, I mean, this is the same way it is with all of us. You know, God does not go around punishing us with sickness and disease when we're a good boy. This guy here, he says, you know, he said, "All your allies have left you and do not care about you anymore. I, God, have wounded you cruelly as though I were your enemy." Sometimes do we think God is our enemy? And sometimes that's the way he has to do us. Because he said, "For your sins were many and your guilt is great." And so he finally had to, just like Job 33 tells us, God speak to us again and again and we don't listen. And then he whispers in our ear and terrifies us with dreams and visions, and we still don't listen. So then he said, "I discipline you with deep pain in your bones. With sickness and disease, I punish you because you do not listen to me." I don't know about you, but I don't want to go there with that. I don't want to go there. Do you, brother?
Not anymore.
You want to walk in obedience to his word. You had something you want to say, sir? Oh, here, let me give you a mic.
Yeah. This is Old Testament.
Okay.
Don't we have Galatians 3:13 that replaces that? Because we have Christ now that has taken the guilt and the punishment for our sins. And, you know, I got saved in 77, and all this time, without being Gnostic, I feel like I've had Gnostic sort of beliefs, like, well, you know, I shouldn't be watching this thing on TV, but you know, you don't think that, but you know, Jesus is taking
well,
that. You know.
Well, but now let me tell you something. Now, here's something where you've missed. See, here's the thing: if there's something in you which is the Spirit of the Living God telling you you shouldn't be watching this on TV, then that's exactly what you should be doing, not watching it. Because if there is some conviction there, see, here's the thing that people have missed about grace under the New Testament. We think we have a license to live where we want to watch what we want to, and do what we want to. And when you read the New Testament, I can assure you I have read it many, many times. And there ain't no place in there that's taught. In fact, the New Testament clearly says, I give you grace for your sins. Okay, so here's what you do. You live in all kinds of sin. And say, by the time you're 20 or 30, you've been a wicked guy. You've been a murderer, adulterer, a fornicator, a liar, a thief. I mean, you've done it all. I mean, all. And then somebody tells you about Jesus. Okay, now he gives you grace right here. He'll forgive those sins, and he'll bring you into his kingdom. He says, now when I bring you into my kingdom, I take you out in Colossians chapter 1. I take you out of the kingdom of darkness, and I put you into the kingdom of light. And over here in the kingdom of light, he said, there is to be no sin among my children. None. Not one time. He said, now, if you sin, here's the way he proclaims it. You're walking down this narrow path of grace. I give you a real good example in the world. The state of Texas gives you grace to drive on their highways. As long as you have a car that's registered and it's current, and you have an inspection sticker and it's current, and you have a driver's license and it's current, and all of those things that they require. And then, insurance and it's current. And then you drive within the speed limit, you're within the grace, and they won't ever bother you. But if you let any one of those things lapse or you get out of the speed limit realms, you've just fell from grace. And the police officer will stop you and give you a ticket. Now then, Paul teaches us clearly in Galatians, don't fall from grace. I used to not understand that, but I now do. I'm walking on this little narrow pathway of life where the scriptures clearly tells us, Paul told us over and over and over in the book of Romans, as well as many other places, should we sin that grace may abound? And his answer is, God forbid. How can we that are dead to sin, sin any longer? So see, if long as we stay dead to sin, we're walking down this straight and narrow path. And then he says, if you do that, he said, then by my stripes you're healed. There's no sickness and disease on this path where there's no varying right or left. But he says, if you look off, a door's open over here, and here is something on a TV, and you look at that, and your flesh rises up and said, oh, that movie would be wonderful for you to watch. And something within says, no. But you say, okay, I'm under grace. I'll watch it anyway. You watch that. You step off of the path of grace. You fall back down under the law, and that's where Satan and his host of demons are. And once the scripture clearly says, and it couldn't be any clearer than it is in James, he says, if a rich man and a poor man come into the same church, let's just say I'm going to take you and say you're the rich man. I'm going to say this man here is the poor man. You two come in, you're dressed in fine clothes. And this guy here is dressed in rags. And he comes in, I go back there and I said, oh, you old critter, you. I said, why don't you go back there and sit on the back row? You know, and I said, you got a fine suit and all them diamonds. You come down here and sit on the front row. The scripture says, I have shown partiality, favoritism between you two. And he said, when I did that, under the royal law of love, that's sin. And he said, when you sin to show favoritism between two men, he said, do you not know that if you break one part of the law, you're guilty of all of them? So he said, now then, the man has showed favoritism for you versus this man. He said, that man's guilty of murder and adultery. That's pretty serious, isn't it? See, when you really read this book in detail, you find out that walking with God, only if you want to walk well. Do you want to have sickness and disease? No, not most people don't. This brother here can testify it's better to be healed So when you get rid of sin, God was merciful to you and healed you.
Instantly.
And that's wonderful. We've seen him do that so many times. Now then, he brings us back and says, walk down this narrow path. Don't veer to the right or to the left. Let my word guide you and direct you. Don't go off into these wild movies that's out there today. All the stuff that you watch. He said, because that stuff's sin. He said, now, that'll kill you. That'll make you sick. And when we're out there watching this stuff, God says, I'm trying my best to get your attention. Just like that little something within. Or just like this brother the other day when the hand was laid on his shoulder. How about your pride? I believe that was God with all my heart. I believe it was an angel or something. He was whispering in his ear because God loved him. God wanted to heal him. But until he repented of those sins, he can't get healed. You cannot get it. That's the thing I've learned so clearly in 15 years of teaching a healing school. And I've now seen hundreds of miracles and thousands of healings. Thousands like yours. I mean, thousands. But to get that to happen, I always have to find the sin and get the people to repent of the sin. And it's clear in the Scripture, all through the Scripture. Just like this one right here we're talking about. Of course, this was under the Old Covenant. But here's the story. When we fall from grace by sinning, we fall right back under the law. Right back under the law. And that's why so many Christians are sick. Now, see, if it was any other way, then no Christian could ever be sick. Because he says, in fact, let's go to 1 Peter 2, 21 through 24, and I'll show you something here that this is where a lot of people don't believe this. But 1 Peter 2, 21, this is why I like to put the scripture on the board up here or on the wall. We have a great big beautiful screen someone give us, but we hadn't finished our texture blowing. We will eventually someday. We're working on it all the time, but at least we can still read them on the wall. But 1 Peter 2:21, it says, this suffering is all part of what God has called you to. Christ who suffered for you is an example for you to follow in his steps. Now then, the footsteps that you and I are supposed to follow every day is Jesus, right? He is our example. Look at the example in verse 22. How much sin did Jesus have? What's that say? Jesus had how much sin? Never sin. So once you and I step into the world of grace and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we've been that old wicked guy out here. We've done everything bad. I mean, and he gives us grace and says, okay, I'll forgive that. But now I'm going to bring you over here into my house. And now that when I bring you into my house, I give you an example to follow. And the example I give you to follow from this point on is how much sin are you supposed to have?
Zero.
That's exactly right. It says there, Jesus never sinned. And then the next part of that verse says, and he never deceived anyone. So how much deceit are we supposed to have?
Zero.
None. Now, this is his example that you and I are supposed to walk like this. I do not understand how the church walks where they walk today. I don't understand how we miss it. I guess we just don't read the book. But verse 23 and 24. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. Now I know all Christians, if you're a Christian, somebody walks up, slaps you in the face and insults you, you would never retaliate, would you?
No.
Well, what do you be like that preacher I heard one day? He said, okay, so I turned the other cheek and he slapped that. And what do I do now? He said, well, Jesus didn't tell me what to do. I'll punch him out. Does that sound like us? Sure, it sounds just like us. But it says here, he did not retaliate when he was insulted. When he suffered, he did not threaten to get even. Now you think about when they beat him on that cross. He went to that cross and was beaten mercilessly and never said a word. And he did that for you and me, brother. So that you and me could look at a demonstration of what he did and how we could walk in this. Now he says, He said he did not threaten to get even. He left his case in the hands of God who always judges fairly. Now see, this is the thing that God does not understand. I mean, that we don't understand about God. That when I look at you, I can't see a sign on you that says this man's happy or this man's sick or this man is afflicted. I can't see that. Yeah, or burdened down. Who knows? But see, God knows your heart.
We wear false clothes.
Sure.
And masquerade, and that's that.
Yeah. So, but see, but God knows that about you and me, doesn't he? I mean, he knows what's in this brother's heart over here. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in this little lady behind you. He knows what's in everybody's heart. So he can judge us fairly. Whereas you and me, you might walk up and you may be having a great day. A wonderful day. And somebody else has had an awful day. And you walk in and you're just on fire. And they're all beat down. And you just look up, don't even ask nothing. You just say, well, get over it. You know, well, they can't get over it. They don't know how to get over it. They don't know what you know. So that's why you're supposed to be a little bit compassionate and a little bit kind. Amen. You know, so that's what God is doing here. He knows our hearts. But it says, and in verse 24, it said, he, Jesus, personally carried away our sins in his own body on the cross so we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Now then, are we dead? How many Christians do you know that really believe that they died whenever Jesus saved them?
Not very many.
I mean, not very many. I mean, they still want to rule their own life. They want to have that pride. But see, that pride issue draws, that puts you a long way from God.
You won't let go of the ownership.
That's right.
The ownership includes a lot of baggage.
Yeah, in fact, we, in Saturday, I don't know if you know it, remember or not, but Saturday during the healing school, I talked about a King Hezekiah and how his pride made him sick even after he had prayed and God had moved and saved his country and his town and everything. And then when the gifts come in, he was puffed up with pride and it made him sick because he would not give God the glory for what God did. When the gifts and everything come in, he said, wow, look what the Lord did here for us. No, he's kind of saying, oh, well, I'm somebody here. Aren't I a good king? Y'all, look at me. I'm somebody. And God says, oh, you are? Okay, let's just see. He struck him with a sin unto death. And it says, and Hezekiah was sick unto death. Here he was, only 40 years old. And it was pride in his case, too. And it almost killed him. Now, Hezekiah, when he repented and the prophet prayed for him, God was merciful. And he did give him 15 more years. But still, as far as I'm concerned, 55 is not very old. You know, to die at 15 more years, I mean, I'd rather have 80, 90, or 100, wouldn't you? Sure, I'd like to live a little longer than 40 years or 55 years. But he says, he, Jesus, personally carried away our sins in his own body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. And then if you've done all that up above stuff, then he says, you have been healed by his wounds. Now, see, when you repented and got back into the grace of God, when you got rid of that pride issue, then by his stripes you were healed. And it was instant. But that, you see, all you need to do to keep that healing is to walk holy and obedient to him.
Yeah, not let go of the pride.
Amen. Yeah.
And it was funny because, like I said, all my life, and I've been blessed with a lot of awards in my career. But I was, someone would say, you did a great job. I said, oh, it was nothing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, God reminded me, pride. And then he drew this visual picture of me being puffed up on the inside and just gloating with joy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the way we are. See, but he knows our heart.
He knows our heart.
He knows our heart. So, and here's what you need to do. When you do something really nice, you say, well, the only reason I can do this is because Jesus is, yeah, I'm his son, and he gives me all this knowledge and wisdom. So I want to give Jesus all the glory and praise.
I do.
Yeah. And so when you do that, hey, don't take none of the credit for yourself because it will make you sick. It did you. And it has made a lot of people sick. But Jesus says right here, if we follow this example, no sin in our life. We don't have no deceit. You know, I mean, we don't deceive people. We don't even retaliate. We don't return insult for insult. So somebody's sitting there making fun of you, saying something, you say, oh, I'm love you anyway, brother. You know, you don't come back and insult for insult. And even when they beat Jesus, he didn't even retaliate. And he said, this is the example I left for you to follow. There's not a lot of people can do that.
The only thing he cried out on the cross was when his father had to turn his back.
Yeah, That's right. Well, he had to, because the sin of the world was put upon him, and God the Father can't look upon sin. And so, but if we will do all of these things, you notice the very last line says, you have been healed by his wounds. Isn't that wonderful? You have been healed by his wounds. He bore that for you. As soon as you got rid of your sin, bam, and somebody prayed the prayer of faith for you, man, you were healed. You walk holy before him. Okay, praise the Lord. Psalms 101. Let's go to Psalms 101, verses 1 through 8. Psalms 101, verses 1 through 8. I will sing of your love and justice. I will praise you, Lord, with songs. Now, as you read the Psalms, you'll get the idea pretty quick that God wants you to praise him. You know, he's worthy of our praise. I will be careful to live a blameless life. Oh, there it is again. I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to my aid? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. In other words, it is. All this is written. It's required if you want to be free of sickness and disease. Now, you don't have to do none of this if you don't care how old you are and don't care how soon you die. Yeah, that's right. If you don't care if you're blessed or cursed, then you can just do anything you want to do and go ahead and be cursed and die at a very young age. And everybody will say, gee, isn't that something? That guy, he was a regular little hellion around here all the time, but he only lived to be 33, so, you know, I wonder why. Hey, we know why, don't we? It's because of sin. That's just like this earthquake that just killed a million people in Burma. That's a judgment from God because of sin on this earth. I mean, these nations, all of us, it's coming. Verse 3 and 4. I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. Now, this is God. If God's telling us, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar, then if you're one of his children, what do you think you should not do? That's why I turned my television off years ago. I don't have one in the house. You know, we do not have any kind of a domestic television that will pick up channels. The only one we have is one in our den over here that will pick up only Christian television, the DBS satellite. That is the only, and we don't hardly ever watch it. Very rarely do we ever watch it. But it says here, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. I hate all crooked dealings. If God hates crooked dealings, and you're involved in double dealing or under the table dealing, what's going to happen? He's going to tell you. He's going to send you dreams and visions to terrify you. And if you don't get the picture before long, he's going to send sickness and disease to punish you. And you don't want to go there. You don't want to go that sickness and disease. I will have, and he says here, I will have nothing to do with them. I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. That's amazing. 5 and 6. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. Now then, do you know people that talk about their neighbors or talk about the government or the president or anybody else? I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. There's our favorite word again. Praise the Lord, you got rid of it. And you got instantly healed. Isn't that wonderful? It is. I will keep a protective eye on the godly. Now, that's where we're supposed to be. You and I are supposed to walk in obedience to his word. And when we do, he says, I will keep a protective eye on the godly so they may dwell with me in safety. So if we're dwelling with God, we're in safety and he's going to take care of us. And it don't make no difference what happens around us. We cannot be taken out prematurely. You know, so it doesn't make any difference what goes on. He made you a promise. Only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. Those who are above reproach. In other words, what if you got a few little sins in your life? And is God going to use you? No, not at all. He says so right there. Only those that are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. Well, how would you like to do something wonderful for Jesus? How would you like to be like that guy back there that prayed for you, Eldon? He is above reproach. I mean, he's a man of God. We've seen many people healed that man's prayed for. I mean, him and his wife walk in obedience to the Word of God. But I know a lot of young men and women that do that. But he is a man of integrity. He's a man above reproach. And it's obvious right there. God said, if he wasn't a man above reproach, when he prayed for you, I wouldn't have healed you. It wouldn't happen. So when Eldon's praying for you, and you repented of your sin too, we got everything going our direction.
You know, I don't want to interrupt you, but for a second, that pride, that sin pride, it's never approached me as being a sin before.
Oh, wow.
As a fellow, I know all the bad things, stealing, lying, cheating, adultery, all of that stuff.
Yeah. But pride?
Pride?
Yeah. But do you know, but all over the Scripture, God says, I hate pride.
But my eyes were blind.
Yeah, wow.
Because it was in me. That's where the devil had a hold on me and was able to keep me out of the wholeness of
sure.
God.
Sure, amen. But now you've learned it now.
I've learned it now.
Amen, learned it well.
That's right.
You took care of the pride issue, and today you don't need an oxygen bottle. Praise God.
So,
you will be able to be a tremendous witness to many other people. There's no telling how many people in the church have got that same problem that you had. And when you tell them, hey, I had a pride issue, you can remind them about the angel or whoever it was that laid the hand on your shoulder and said, how about the pride issue?
Exactly.
And you took care of it. And when you did, then you were instantly healed. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. We've seen this. Yeah, we've seen this so many times with people being instantly healed whenever they get rid of certain sins. They just got to get rid of it. But he says here, he says, only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. Do you want to be able to serve God? Sure. You're going to have to be above reproach in everything you do. He's not going to use the average man to serve him. You've got to be that upperclassman, you might say. I mean, if you were hiring young men and you just had 10 young men that got out of college and say you were an engineering guy, and you were these 10 guys that got out of school, and let's say out of that bunch, one of them was a perfect straight A student that made high 90s in everything he did, and all the rest of them were just 60s and 70. Which one of those guys are you going to hire? The man that's of great integrity. I mean, the man that made he studied and he prepared. The rest of them are out playing around. You don't want guys like that working for you. You want the guy that's going to be diligent. And that's what you do. Well, that's exactly the way it is with God. You know, only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. You got to be right on top. Okay, verse 7 and 8, Dave. I will not allow deceivers to serve me. If you're a deceiver and you've been deceiving people, God says, I will not allow deceivers to serve me. I will not let you. And liars will not be allowed to enter my presence. Wow. I mean, this is right in the Word of God. So my daily task will be to ferret out criminals and free the city of the Lord from their grip. My daily task will be to ferret out criminals and free the city of the Lord from their grip. Let's look at that in the King James. Let's see what that says in the King James, verse 7 and 8. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, so that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Okay, so who is it that's going to get to go to the city of the Lord? The wicked? No. Those that walk holy and obedient to His Word, right? Yep. He said, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. So that make you wonder why some people die at 30 or 40 or 50? But you think, well, he didn't serve God. He was pretty wicked. He was always under the table dealing, or he had this issue, whatever. And, wow, he said, I'll cut them off, and all the wicked doers will be cut off from the city of the Lord. Well, I don't want to be cut off from that, do you? Absolutely not. Okay, let's go to Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 through 20, and let's see what he says there in Leviticus 21 through 20. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, again you shall say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. In other words, Molech is a symbol of the devil. It's another god. If you give your seed or your children unto Molech, he said, you shall surely be put to death. Well, what are we doing today? You ever stop to think what we're doing? There's dads out there today, fathers, men that have brought children into the world that are not doing anything with their children, not teaching them anything about God, not taking them to church, nothing. And technically speaking, what he's doing, he's giving those children to Molech.
And even those fathers that are still in the house with their children, that are giving them money to buy all these video games, mm-hmm. all of these things that take their mind totally from the Lord.
Amen.
And into the world.
Yeah.
They're doing the same
thing. Totally, totally, totally. You're absolutely right. Okay, the next couple of verses, verse 3 and 4. And I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not. Verse 5 and 6. Then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off, and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredoms with Molech from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and I will cut him off from among his people. Now, we think about today on these spirits. I mean, you can go almost anywhere in Dallas and see these spirit mediums. I mean, palm readers, fortune readers, all this kind of stuff everywhere. And God tells you today, even under grace, under the new covenant, we are to stay away from those things and have nothing to do with the enemy.
You even go into the toy stores.
Mm-hmm.
They're in there in
yeah.
video games and
oh, yeah.
card games that you buy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That you give our children
yeah.
and let them go and we're handing them over to the devil.
That's right. And God tells us not to do that.
Exactly.
He says we are to be a teacher and to teach our children about the things of God. And, of course, the bad thing about it is so many fathers today, even those that are home with their children, don't know anything about God himself. I mean, he don't know anything. And why does he not know anything about God? Because he's not spent any time reading this book. Yeah, I would be willing to say that the majority of the church has never read the Word of God one time, the whole book, not one single time. And it's something. Now let's go to verse 7 and 8. And he says there, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, I am holy. In other words, that's in the New Testament too, under the New Covenant. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. Now, when Paul said, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, this is one of the places he gets it. It was under the Old Covenant. It's under the New Covenant. It never changes with God. If you want to know what God is like, we could go back and look at Hebrews 13:8, but I won't go there. I'll just quote it to you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. So whatever he liked under the old covenant, he likes it under the new covenant. He's willing under grace to forgive our sins, but when we get saved, then as we saw a while ago, he expects us to stop sinning and walk holy with him because he's holy. So when we got that Holy Spirit living in us now, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's convicting us. He's the one telling us to walk holy and obedient to his word. And I loved it when this brother sitting beside you said, if I turn on the TV and there's something on there, sometimes there's something says you shouldn't watch this.
Amen.
And sometimes it's not there. But if something definitely tells you don't watch that, I'm telling you that's God. That's definitely not the devil.
Exactly.
And not the devil. The devil will never tell you not to watch something unless it was a really good Christian show. You might hear this little voice say, don't watch that. But if it's all about Jesus, then you know that you got to be careful.
I think if it was a good Christian show, you wouldn't be hearing a little voice telling you not to watch it. You would have something that would interrupt you. Someone would ring the doorbell, or you'd say, I got to go to the bathroom, or something to distract you. More than, I don't think the devil speaks as audibly to us as God does.
He does it more deceitfully. In all of my life, I know I've heard God audibly speak to me over 30 times. But I've only heard the devil speak to me audibly twice. And both times was when I was fixing to get a tremendous miracle from God. It was right after God had spoken to me to do something. And one of them was a man in 1986 that had terminal cancer. And he was 42 years old. And he was dying with terminal cancer. And the Lord spoke to me in front of his hospital room and told me, son, tell Ed, that was a man's name, Ed Brock. He said, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I will heal him. Well, I was a Southern Baptist deacon and I had never seen anybody healed in my life. I didn't have any idea how all this stuff worked. But when I went home that night and started researching the scripture, as I researched the scripture, I came up on James 5, 14, 15, and 16, which says, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him and anoint him with oil, and the prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. And if the sickness is due to a sin, I, the Lord, will forgive the sin. And so, therefore, I, the Lord, will raise that person up and heal them. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And right after I read that, I heard the enemy say, you've read that before. Yeah. And that was in your subconscious. Yeah. That really wasn't God talking to you. Well, let me tell you, it was God talking to me. But I didn't know all these things back then. And so I was totally confused. But when I finally went the next Sunday and talked to Ed Brock, it took me 3 weeks to convince him that I heard from God. And here he is 42 years old on his deathbed, and whenever he repented because his sin, he broke the number one commandment. Now, what is the number one commandment? Oh, yeah.
Tell him what?
Lymphoma. He had terminal lymphoma, last stages, fourth stage. Yeah, it was all over. But God healed him. That's been 22 years ago. Oh, that's what he had too.
The doctor told me with chemo, I might have 2 years. Without it, I'm done in a matter of a year.
But all you got to do is get rid of your pride.
They found it in my lungs, in my liver. My kidneys, my stomach, my lymph nodes.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you though, brother. You may or may not agree with me, but I'm gonna tell you that there's many a time God spoke to you about that pride issue.
I never heard.
He spoke to you through people and everything, and you wasn't listening. So he finally afflicted you with sickness and disease. Now he's got your attention. And so when he spoke to you back there the other day, how about that issue? You said, okay, Lord, we'll take care of this. I repent. And he said, that's what I've been waiting to hear you say for all these years.
Exactly. And right off the bat, I'm thinking, I don't have a pride issue. And God, after God spoke here, and God spoke inside here, he said, what about the pride? And he immediately did it. I'm a visual. I'm a film producer.
Yeah.
God gave me the visual image. All inside, I'm puffed up and very gloating, and I'm saying, no, I'm humble.
You're humble on the outside. What a great testimony. What a great testimony. I'm telling you, it's wonderful to get healed. Then he says, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I, the Lord, your God, I am the Lord, your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord, which sanctify you. We today are still to obey these commandments. We are to sanctify ourselves before the Lord. That means He has sanctified us. He has set us apart today and made us holy. Now, we as Christians, we should not walk in any kind of sin. The Scripture says we are not to sin. In fact, I was teaching this one night over in Dallas, and there was a young man. He just held up his hand. There were 30 or 40 people there that night. He said, I guess the next thing you're going to tell me is God expects me to be perfect. I said, well, son, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I will let you see what God says about that. I said, I'm going to take you to Matthew 5:48 and let you see what Jesus said. Dave, take him to Matthew 5:48 and let's see in the King James what Jesus said right there. When we'll come back to Leviticus 20, verse 9 and 10. Look at this. And be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, what is the goal? Now, this is under the New Testament. I mean, what is mine and your standards?
The whole, be holy.
Be like God.
Jesus.
That's right.
Zero sin.
Isn't that awesome? I mean, this is like this young man when I'm saying, you know, Christians are not supposed to sin. He said, oh, give me a break. You know, Christian, we sin all day, every day. I said, speak for yourself. I ain't going to sin all day, every day. Are you, Lance? No way. You know, I ain't going there because I know what it'll do. It'll bring sickness and disease into my flesh, and I don't like being sick. And it really does it. But the Lord says in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that's Jesus talking right there in Matthew chapter 5.
And if it wasn't possible, he wouldn't tell us.
Of course that. Exactly right, brother. Jesus would never tell me and you to do something he wouldn't empower us to do.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. We have the power today under the new covenant. We have the Holy Ghost in us. We have Jesus with us. We got the Father. He said, if you obey me, the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit will come and manifest themselves to us in John. I mean, wow, this is awesome. Okay, let's go back to Leviticus, Dave, where we were there in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Let's go to 9 and 10. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall be utterly put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. And, of course, we wonder why lots of young people die today. Well, right there's one of the reasons. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife. Now, I realize there's not any of that goes on in the church. There's not a single man in the church or single woman in the church that ever had sex with a person they wasn't married to. I mean, it's awful what's going on in the church. But the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. What do you think God thinks about sex outside of wedlock? Well, today if somebody said, well, we're under grace, it's okay. You have not read the New Testament and the New Covenant. Under the New Covenant, he clearly says, now then that you're under grace, you're to sin not, you're to be perfect. And he said, there's not to be one hint of sexual immorality found among my children in the New Covenant. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty powerful and pretty clear. So if you want to die early, or you want to come down with a venereal disease, just start sleeping around, you know, and it'll happen. You know, God will see to it that it'll happen. And so where are we at now? Okay. Yeah, okay, 11 and 12. And the man that lieth with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. The man that lieth or has sex with his father's wife. In other words, if he was divorced and had another wife, and then the son happened to go and lied or lieth with or had sex with his father's wife, it says both of those people shall be put to death. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have brought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. Verse 13 and 14. If a man also lies with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. In other words, I heard another preacher say one time, if somebody had told me when I was a 7 or 8 year old kid that a person was a homosexual, I wouldn't have had a clue what that was. He said, I had no idea what a homosexual was. But if somebody had read this to me, if a man lies with mankind as he lieth with a woman, he said, even at 7 or 8 years old, I knew what that meant. He said, I knew males and females. I mean, you'd be amazed how early little boys and little girls understand they're made different. It don't take long, does it? They know little girls are different. Little girls know little boys are different. And here we know they learn real quick that a man and a woman that are married, they lie together and they bring forth children. And that's how this works. But it says, if a man also lies with a man as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. You want to know why so many people are dying with AIDS? That's the reason. I mean, it is a terrible, awful disease. And I guarantee, without spending a dollar, I can stop AIDS in one generation. Get people to obey this book. If people obey this book and stop sinning, you wipe AIDS out. I have seen people healed of AIDS, just like you were healed of yours. They repented of their sin and told God they're sorry. And that's grace. You know that? That's grace. I mean, it's no different, your grace of pride, than the grace for the homosexual. It's no different. God hates sin. And when you got rid of your pride, He healed you. When the homosexual gets rid of his sin, said, God, I'll come to you. He'll forgive him and heal him just like that. He loves us. That's grace.
If I have walked in poverty and I have battled financial situations, once I have given up all of my sins, that too can be healed.
Everything. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. God promises us in His Word, if we obey all of His commandments and keep His statutes, He'll bless everything we put our hands to. Financially, we will prosper. He promises it. Now it says, if a man take a wife and her mother, both of them, it is wickedness, and they shall be burnt with fire. Both he and they, there that there be no wickedness among you. You know, if we did a few more of these things today, we might stop some of this nonsense, you know. But we'd have to find some holy people to rule this thing. And that's the whole problem. We got sinners everywhere. Verse 15 and 16. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. I knew of a man years ago that was married and had three or four children. And later on, after he got past about 35, he started losing his mind, had all kinds of problems, and we like to never found out. And it was through dedicated prayer that the Holy Spirit revealed to one of us the man's sin. And it was that when he was a young boy on the farm, he had sex with an animal. And that bestiality, that sex, I think it was with a goat or a lamb or sheep or something like that, but he had sex with one of those animals, and that had brought this on him. And when his sins were forgiven and the man was prayed over, the man was completely restored and his mind came back and everything. But the Lord had to reveal that to us. We had no idea why this man was sick and why he was dying. But right there was our answer. If a man lies with a beast, an animal, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. Now, if a woman approach unto any beast or animal and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, and they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Boy, there's a lot of things in here that God don't like, isn't there?
No wiggle room in those.
Wow. Verse 17 and 18. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. I've learned these things. I would not look upon a naked woman of no kind. I don't care if she's not my wife and I'm not married to her, I will never look upon a woman's nakedness. I don't care what happened, because God don't like it. It'll bring a curse upon you. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness. Now, this is her menstrual period he's talking about. A lot of men don't know this. Verse 18, if a man shall lie with a woman, this could even be his wife, while she's having her monthly period, and she'll uncover her nakedness, he shall discover her fountain, the blood, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. There's a time when God does not want even a man and woman that's married together to have sex, and that's when her blood is flowing. The man is to leave her alone during that period of time. Now, I know a lot of people that didn't know that, and I know people had sickness and disease in the church. And whenever they learned this, I've had to teach this at times, and I've had people had sickness and disease. It's usually a sexual sickness of some kind with either one or both of them, or they cannot be able to enjoy sex. They have pain and suffering and all kinds of stuff, and it came because of this, because they had sex even when she was bleeding. And so when they repent and tell God they're sorry and they won't never do that again, I've seen both of them get healed. Isn't that amazing? When God said don't do something, you better read the book. This is an owner's manual. And he says what he means, and he means what he says. So a lot of people don't know it. Somebody said, well, I didn't know it. Well, that don't make any difference. He still holds you responsible. Verse 19 and 20. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sin, and they shall die childless. No children will ever be in their life if a man lies with his uncle's wife. I mean, you think what God's trying to tell us here in all these things in Leviticus, that he doesn't like sex outside of wedlock? You think that's what he's trying to say? I believe that's what he's trying to tell us.
Not only doesn't like it, but he won't tolerate it.
He will not tolerate it. That's right. There will be sickness and disease. Now then, under grace, he seems to give us a little bit more leeway, but still, it brings this upon you. I mean, it just does. I see this all the time. I minister to people all the time. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Let's go to Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, and let's look at these. In fact, before we go there, Dave, let's go to Leviticus 5, 18. I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 5, since we're in a Leviticus. I want to look at Leviticus 5, 18. Okay, Leviticus 5:17. Okay, put 5:17 on the screen. And if a soul sins and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though you know it not, yet is he guilty, and he shall bear his iniquity. That's pretty strong. But it's written in that book. Mm-hmm. Now then, let me ask you this question. Let's say the state of Texas made a speed law out here and says the speed limit on that freeway is 60. And you go ripping down there, and just because you pulled up right here and pulled on, you didn't see no signs, you thought it was 70. And that you get down the road and one stops you and said, hey, brother, you were driving 70. He said, well, the speed limit on all the freeways are 70. He said, not this one. This one's 60. But I didn't see a sign. That's no excuse, is it? He will write you a ticket, won't he? And I see, now God's the same way. See, God says, I give you an owner's manual. Isn't this something? I give you an owner's manual. Now then, I command you to read it. Well, Lord, I ain't got time. I'm working too much. He said, that ain't my problem. That's not my problem. You better read this thing, or you may not live long enough to get the rest of your work done. And see, that's what happens to us. See, that's why you've had such a terrible life. I don't know. How long have you been wearing that oxygen, sir?
I haven't been on the oxygen, but a few weeks.
Oh, only a few weeks.
I've been eating it about 4 or 5 months.
Okay.
At least. And I think a year and a half ago, I started feeling bad. I knew something was wrong, but they didn't see it.
Yeah.
And then when they did finally see it, I don't believe how bad this is. Yeah. I mean, you're already stage 4, the final end of it.
Yeah. That's what they told Ed Brock 22 years ago. He's still alive and well today. But he repented.
Amen.
He repented and got right with God. And of course, God healed him, just like he said he would, promising his word. But if a soul sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not or know it not, yet is he guilty, and he shall bear his iniquity. So you're responsible. Okay, now let's go to Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3 and 4. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now that's still good today, isn't it? You shall have no other gods. Now, if your car is your God, your money is your God, your television is your God, your work is your God, if anything is your God, you're in big trouble. Now, see, with Ed that time, that's his problem. His work become his God. Here he was, 42 years old, and stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer. And have you ever seen a young man in perfect health? This guy run and worked and ate right. I mean, he was a perfect physical fitness guy. He rode bicycles. I mean, he was physically perfect. I think Ed must have weighed about 160 pounds. He was about 5'10". He had muscles. And he ate right, exercised right, but at 42 years old, stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer. Why? Because he didn't keep this first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Now, remember when it says no graven images, I have often taught that I wouldn't have a picture of Jesus in my church. I don't want one. If there's one here, I don't know it. I don't want one. But I knew a woman one time that somewhere, some store, she found the most beautiful picture that was portraying Jesus standing on the side of a hill in flowers and all this stuff with his hands out like this. And she thought, that's the most beautiful picture I ever saw in my life. Great big tall one. She bought that thing. She put it, had it hung right in the foyer when she comes in the front door. There that thing is. And man, she'd drive her car up out front and get out and come in that front door. And she'd open that door and stand there and just look at that beautiful picture.
Perfect place to put an idol.
That's what it's becoming, see. And she does not realize this. And she's looking at this thing. And one day she said, I'm sitting there looking and I'm thinking, Lord, how wonderful it's going to be when you come for me. And she said, he spoke to me. He said, if you keep looking at that picture, when I do come for you, you're not going to know who I am. And boy, she said, she took the picture down and got rid of the picture. She said, I never had that up there again. Because she said, I heard this voice. If you keep looking at that picture, when I come for you, you won't know who I am. Wow. In other words, what are you trying to tell her? That picture wasn't him. That's not what he looks like. We have no pictures of Jesus. We don't know what the king looks like. We know he's a magnificent being, but he tells us we're not supposed to make any images or any pictures of him. Verse 5 and 6, Dave. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. And God says, if you disobey me, you hate me. Somebody said, well, those that hate him, those are the crooks and thieves. No, that's not who that is. Anybody that disobeys God, God classifies you as a person that hates him. And he said, he will bring these sicknesses and disease upon you and your children to the third and fourth generation. Now, that's scary, isn't it? But you know, you can look back and see if all through the Scripture, God says, if you obey me, I will bless you and your children. That's right. And so how many people do we have, even in a church today, that have children that are sick or afflicted or born mentally or physically handicapped? That's not a blessing from God. I mean, a baby that's born with cerebral palsy is not a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. You'd much rather have that little child normal, running, playing, laughing, cutting up, hadn't you? Of course. I know. I have a nephew that has cerebral palsy, and I know that his daddy sinned while he was being carried in the womb. I know he did. He told me, and I didn't know these things then, but I do now. I knew he wasn't supposed to do what he did then, and I told him what he done was wrong. Oh, Thurman, you're just an old, you know, religious fuddy-duddy. You know, you don't realize I just want to have a little fun when I'm away from home. But no, his little fun away from home brought a handicapped boy into his life. And that little boy now is 40-something years old, and he's been physically handicapped with cerebral palsy all of his life. Have not ever been able to get him healed. I can't get his daddy to repent for his sin. Isn't that sad? But God says right there, I am a jealous God. A jealous God. You know, I mean, I think about, and I'll tell all of y'all, can you can associate with this. This young lady here on the front row is my young wife. She's just a teenager. You know, I'm a teenager. She's a teenager. Both of us are teenagers. But let me tell you, I said something the other day about David having a lot of wives, and I said, you know, I wonder what it would be like if we had more wives today. And she said, well, if you had more wives, you'd have one less. That's kind of the way you feel, Patty?
Yeah.
Exactly the way you feel. You don't mind being the wife of Lance, but you don't want to be one of his many wives, do you? No, you want to be the wife, just like Cheryl wants to be my wife. Why is that? And we wouldn't want to share y'all with nobody else either, and so we're jealous. Somebody says, well, I'm not jealous of my wife. I say, if you're not jealous of your wife, you don't love your wife. Yeah, there's a problem. If you're not jealous of your wife, you don't love her. You should be. God loves us. That's why he's so jealous. That's why he does not want us to serve anybody but him. Is that right, brother? Sure, that's exactly right. You had a question, sir?
I'm thinking about those morons down in Houston, what they're going through. The 400 kids have been scattered all over the state.
Well, yeah, that's sad. I don't know anything about that. I haven't watched anything. I don't watch television or anything. But still, there's all kinds of things going on in the world. And we don't know why people do what they do. But I will have to say, if you read this book, the book will tell you exactly what to do. And lots of people don't do it. But they will.
Morons, I meant Mormons.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what they are. I don't know. But, wow. But then he says, and he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, that's the part we all want to hear, right? That God is going to show mercy unto us, thousands of us. But he says, of them that love me and that keep my commandments. Now, of course, under the new covenant, he says, many people say they know me. But he said, they don't obey me. Under the new covenant in John. And he says, those that say they love me and don't obey me, he said, they're liars and I never knew them. Now, that's under the new covenant. So he clearly tells us we must obey him. He's never changed, and he never will. Verse 7 and 8. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Now, that's a scary one, isn't it? I mean, there's so many people that loosely use the name of God and the name of Jesus. You know, a Christian, somebody mashed your finger and said, oh, Jesus! You know, they didn't use that reverently, you know. Or they'll say, oh, God, you know. Like, I've heard Christians do that. We better be careful. Better be careful. Or you might come down sick or afflicted. Because God says right there, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. So, I mean, wow. Then he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, today, actually, all of us, we're supposed to have a Sabbath 24/7. We're supposed to keep every day holy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Under the new covenant, every day is a Sabbath to us. Every day is a day that's supposed to be holy to us as Christians. We don't serve God one day a week anymore. We're supposed to be serving the King 24/7, all the time. Verse 9 and 10. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it you shall not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. What God was trying to do is say everybody needs a day of rest. Now, we still need a day of rest. Like I said, the Sabbath was fulfilled. When Jesus came, he told us that in Colossians chapter 2. It is very clear. let no man deceive us with these things. But he said, you still need to take a rest, you know, and so we should rest. Regularly we should rest. Sometimes I don't do that very well, I'll have to say. That may be my, okay, Lord, forgive me. I need to rest. I'm trying to rest more. Oh, okay, maybe that's what it is. Okay, verses 11 and 12. For in 6 days the Lord has made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day, and wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. So he says, then honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now then, this is the first of the commandments that has a promise with it, that if you will honor your father and your mother, your days may be long upon the earth. Which means that a man that does not honor his mother and father, and he does blaspheme his mother and dad, it depends on how evil and how wicked he does that, but God will cut him off prematurely, and his life will not be fulfilled on the earth. So, you might take two sons, they're born within a couple of years of each other, and maybe the younger son does not honor dad and mom, and when somebody says something, he said, oh yeah, the old man, or the old woman, you know, and he never honors them, doesn't do things nice for them, and he's always getting money from them or whatever and never paying it back, and he's just not honoring mother or father. The Lord says that that man's life will not be as long on the earth as one that honors his mother and father. Verse 13 and 14. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I saw a great big billboard. It's been several years ago. I was driving on 635, and there's a huge billboard up there. It says, what do you not understand about thou shalt not, signed God?
That's all I understand. My commandments were never suggestions.
There you go. My commandments were never suggestions. That's exactly right. Okay, verse 15 and 16. Thou shalt not steal. Now that means no stealing. I mean, don't be like the guy that is little. Every time I hear, think about this, I think about this story I heard about a little boy who got in trouble at school because he stole a pencil. And his daddy had to go to school with him, and they had to, you know, go in front of the principal and everything and explain why he stole the pencil. And while he was trying to explain it, because he needed one and everything, daddy told him, he said, well, son, if you needed a pencil, why didn't you just tell me and I'd have brought you one home from the office? I mean, it's stealing either way you look at it, isn't it? But see, we don't see it like that. But God says, you shall not steal. If it belonged to somebody else, it wasn't yours, was it? And if you take it, it's stealing. Then he says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. God doesn't like a liar. Verse 17 and 18. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Now, if you had the privilege to see God shake a place and he give these commandments, it would have an impact on you, don't you think? But just think, today we've just heard about an earthquake over in China, 7.9. That ought to get your attention too, shouldn't it? He has shook the earth, and in Burma when he brought a cyclone through there, and now you told me they killed 1 million people? 1 million people killed in a cyclone. I can't even go there. I can't even think about that. 1 million people died in one cyclone in Burma. I mean, you would think that would get our attention, because that had to be some kind of a humongous cyclone if it killed that many people.
Church in the province that was devastated, and we heard from her today that she and her children are all right, but she says the death toll is going to be staggering.
Where's this at, sir?
In the province in China.
Oh, in China.
Yeah, where all this
Where the earthquake was.
The center of the earthquake.
Oh, okay. Well, and no two ways about it. You know, if it was a 7.9, is that what you said? 7.9. There ain't no doubt a 7.9 is going to rock things. What did you say that one was out there in California, that 3 and 4 floors just fell?
That was 6.8.
6.8.
Yeah, we were there for that.
Wow, 6.8. And this apartment building just come right down all the way.
Yeah, four-level apartment.
One floor.
Wow. The city of about 100,000 at the center of this earthquake, is totally all of the buildings are flat, and all of the high-rise buildings, there's nothing left standing. And
wow.
They fear the death toll in that city alone is going to be astronomical.
And again, this is what city?
One city.
I mean, what's the name of it?
Shandong.
In China?
Yeah.
In China.
Yeah, and this is where my friend, that Lisa is her name. That's her American name. But she asked us to pray for all of the pastors that they've been teaching, because they, all of them are in this province.
Wow.
Within a 300 or 400 mile radius of this earthquake.
Wow.
And we just pray that God will keep them safe, that they can continue.
God is in control of everything that happens, isn't he?
Amen.
He is in control. And all these people got to see this, verse 19 and 20, and we'll quit on Exodus. Go to 19 and 20, Dave.
Amen.
And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. In other words, people still don't want to hear God talking to them, do they? I mean, we have never changed a bit. I mean, let Moses speak to us, but not God. I mean, if God speaks to us, we might just die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you or to test you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. Isn't that amazing? Do you know what causes a young boy to stop being a bad young boy? When daddy gets out a big enough switch. You know, he may get out a little bitty switch and hit him a few times, and it may change him a little. But finally, one day, when Dad gets that big switch and really wears him out for one or two really somethings that he did, it really changes him, doesn't it?
Crossed over the line of tolerance.
That's right. Crossed over the line of tolerance. I guarantee. That's for sure. Okay, now then, let's go to James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and we'll quit on this today. James 2, 1 through 13. Let's go to the New Testament. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly men with a gold ring. Now, see, we talked about this a while ago, but we're going to talk about it in the Scriptures. In goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. Now, this is the very thing we were talking about. Verse 3 and 4. And you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and you are become judges of evil thoughts? Is that what we do? Sure. Just because a man's got on, you look at one man, and he's got all kinds of fine clothes, and you judge. And the other guy's poor and got on ragged clothes. You say, well, he's a nobody. I don't want him. You know, I thought about that a year before last. The ministry has a really nice 421 airplane, a twin engine, big, beautiful thing, and I fly that thing all over the country. And we went over to Arlington to the airport, and when we pulled up there, they brought the red carpet out for us. I mean, they literally rolled a carpet out there for us to get out. I mean, they know this airplane costs a lot of money, and it's an expensive piece of equipment, so they think, man, the guy flying this thing or the people that own this thing got some money. Now, they may spend some money. We'll really be nice to them. Well, this last year, we went over there to a Christmas, and we went in our little Mooney we have. Just a little single engine, and the guy told me on the radio, taxi up to so-and-so, and nobody even come out and did nothing or said nothing. So, I mean, you know, you fly a whole lot cheaper airplane and they don't pay no attention to you. But you fly a big, beautiful twin, man, they bring the red carpet out. They show respect to persons. Now, see, God says we're not supposed to do that right here, doesn't he? Yeah. He says you're not supposed to do that because you don't know who that person is. See, what God knows and what I know, the same guy that owns both those airplanes, God owns both those airplanes, but I get to fly both of them. And it was the same guy. And they were showing respect to persons because of the machine. So sit thou here. He says, stand there here or sit under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and you are become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 5 and 6. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Yes, they do. Verse 8 and 9, 7 and 8. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called, or children of God? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, which is, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, you're supposed to do deeds of loving kindness as a child of God. He said, you do well. If you fulfill the royal law of love, according to the scripture, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Verse 9 and 10. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. So what is it the law tells us about? Yeah, the law is still there. The law did not go away when Jesus came. He told us, I did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law. The law is still here. So as long as we don't walk in sin. In other words, if you, thinking about yourself, if as long as you're obeying the laws of this land, you can go where you want to. You can do anything you want to, right, Lance? I mean, you can travel around, go where you want to. I mean, as long as you stay within the confines of the laws of the land, nobody ever bothers you, do they? You can be blessed in everything you do. But if you think, well, you know, I mean, so I'm under grace, so I can drive 90 if I want to. So you get on Interstate 20 and head toward Abilene, and if you get all the way out there without getting stopped at 90, you're going to be lucky, aren't you? Yeah, you really will. Huh?
It's either Eastland or Weatherford.
Oh, somewhere along. Somewhere they're going to get you out there. Yeah, that's for sure. But here he says, God, you never get away from him. He always knows what you're doing. He says, you are convinced of the law as a transgressor. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all of it. You're guilty of all. 11 and 12. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, but yet if you kill, you are become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and do so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Verse 13. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. So if you break the law, if you're a Christian and you break the law and commit sin, which shows respect to persons, or if you go out and commit adultery, or you lie, or any of those things, you fell from grace. And you're going to be judged of God. But now, you were judged of God. But the beautiful part about the grace we live under, when you repented, he forgives you.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Restored.
And totally restored. But the secret is, don't sin no more, right?
Walk the narrow path.
Amen. Walk the narrow path and you can walk the rest of your life without sickness and disease. Isn't God good?
Wonderful.
He's wonderful. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for this evening, the beautiful time when we have to come and sit down with your word and talk about these wonderful things that you've wrote in this book so we can hide them in our hearts so we will not sin against you. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your word, which is showing us so clearly what we have to do to walk in divine health. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this brother, the night that you healed Saturday at the healing school. And Lord, he's going to walk holy before you. He's going to be in your word. He's going to put you first, and he's going to change a whole lot of things. And Lord, I'm sure that he'll touch a many a person's life, that people that he knows, and he'll touch them and share with them his mighty testimony, and they will hear and want what he's got, and they'll want to walk holy also, and ask you to use him mightily to bring glory and honor to your name. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.